You know, there's a frustration.
But you've been very tolerant lately, like, oh, I'm just not going to let that bother me, you know, I'm just going to, I've really taken you as an example of how to get out of my own way, you know. It's like, you're like, oh, if I didn't put that expectation on it, you know, I wouldn't
have been. Well, I'm much better than I have been, but that's still why it surprises me that there's this stuff that happens when I have experienced this irritation that somebody's not moving fast enough for me to get something accomplished that I think I can get accomplished in a given time. And yeah, it's kind of stupid. The whole thing is stupid.
I would go back to Andrew's question. In what ways is your life not going fast enough in the direction that you want it to go when you want it to go?
The life you want to live.
Which has got nothing to do with present-day circumstances, necessarily.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll look at that, because, yeah, that's very, very likely what's actually popping out.
It usually turns out to be not the specific, but you have to take it to the big picture and look at the general, and a lot of times you find the answers then.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let me think on that when we're not on our call.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm just having a hell of a time with time right now. My days are just packed, and it's interesting. I mean, I figure it's just a phase, but you know, I mean, it's. I feel like it's costing me some opportunities here and there. I'm just really busy with work. But it's not just work, actually. What's weird about it is, like, everything right now is in a real transitional time. So work is packed, and I'm trying to move, like, several projects through, and they're all stacking up, all, you know, just kind of happening along the way. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just do that. But, you know, it's definitely taking me longer to get them done, and it's, you know, there's just not really a second in the day.
Everything is packed right now.
Well, Andrew, the same thing that you said to Sharon, take it out to the bigger picture and let's look at it. What is it saying?
Well, I mean, I know some. I mean, I have this book right sitting right here in my mind. All I have to do is just start writing it, but I literally just don't seem to have time to do it ever right now. It's like for the last 3 months. And this has become a frustration, to be honest. Like, I told a friend of mine, like, 3 months ago, he's like, hey, well, let's get together, you know, what were we talking about with Roger, what did he call it a couple years, an emergent life center, but we want to start, like, kind of like a psychic gymnasium or something, like, where people, you know, get together and practice things, you know, figure out what they can do and open their reality to things. But I just told him, it's like, I don't see me being able to do anything for the next 3 months. And sure enough, that's what's been happening.
Okay, so let's throw one at you, okay?
That's a frustration.
In what ways?
Throw one at me?
Yep. In what ways are you getting in your own way and making things take longer because you're not sure that the path you're taking is exactly the path you desire?
I would really have to think about that one. I think maybe as it comes to mind, I've been thinking maybe I'm just not willing to give up anything to free up time. It's like I won't let certain things go just to have, you know, more time to do what I want to do.
Yeah, but you were also saying that things take longer than you think they should. And many times when that occurs in a person's life, it's because they're dragging their feet about something. And it could be about making choices and decisions and deciding what direction you're going to go.
That's just interesting because I feel like I've never been more directed. I take what you're saying. It's just I gotta look at it from that point of view. I have not thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, Andrew, because you mentioned that you feel never felt as directed as you are right now. But when I'm listening to you talking about there's not enough time, what comes up for me is the possibility that life is happening to you, but your response to Misty seems to indicate that's not the case. So are you happening to life, or is life happening to you?
Good question, Pat.
Well, I mean, I guess I gotta say, like, it's just more like, yeah, things just keep coming down the chute. So I suppose it's happening to me. Yeah, definitely. So it's like trying to hold everything together and move it all forward. I definitely don't feel like I'm managing it really well.
So what could you possibly do to be able to manage it more to your liking?
Well, you know, so if I was willing just, so here's my dilemma, I guess, now that it's coming up. If I was willing to just say, for example, like on the annual, so I'm doing the annual report for the, for my job right now. And I want it to be good because it's going to be out there for like a long time. It's going to be, I assume, used for various communication purposes. So, you know, I want to.
Okay, we'll wait for everybody to get back.
Okay.
This is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
That was an unusual event.
Hey.
Whatever it was. Do we get to say stop the show now?
That's a good idea. I can't remember what I was saying.
I had asked you a very pertinent question.
You were avoiding writing your book.
Well, that's what Misty says.
Well, that's what you said.
I don't think that's what I said.
No, it wasn't exactly what was we said, but...
No, it was not exactly that. Pat was asking, are you living your life, or is life living
life
you?
Happening,
yep.
Me, right?
Yeah, happened.
Like it,
yeah.
Coming at me. I definitely don't feel in charge of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that seems to have been amplified. So I guess it's, Andrew,
yeah.
When are you going to start living the life you truly desire?
When I have time.
Ah.
My answer exactly.
It does become a problem, doesn't
that,
it?
You know, that
yeah, that yeah. does become a problem. Okay.
I mean, it really just, you know, it's like I have to reevaluate the way I'm prioritizing things. Because I keep trying to get a nice big block of time in which I can, like, really focus on the book or something. So as there's things to do, I'll just say, oh, I got to get this out of the way and get this out of the way. And there's that thing and there's that thing and there's that thing and there's that thing. And that, you know, it's just a never-ending list of maintenance things.
Procrastination.
You know, and I don't seem to find that nice pocket of time to just concentrate.
Yeah, well, maybe
so
you're
maybe
gonna
going
to have
the wrong way in
to decide how you
yeah.
find yourself that pocket of time if that's what you need, or learn to do it in smaller increments.
I'm sorry, it blocked out there. What did you say?
I said either you have to figure out a way to find yourself that block of time, or learn how to do it in smaller increments.
Right.
You know, prioritize what's most important to you.
Right. I mean, so I think, I don't know if you guys got any of this before the phone went dead, but I was saying that I just, you know, I could just do kind of like a quick, dirty, done, don't really care about it job on a lot of things. But I just don't feel like that's me right now. I'm not really wanting to do it that way.
But are you putting too much pressure on yourself?
Oh, I remember you said that you're working on your annual something.
Yeah, right.
And that you want to do that precisely right, or what?
Well,
I don't
know. Do it well so that it stands up and it's useful, you know, to folks. That's what I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. The stuff we've been doing up, like, the last couple of years is just giveaway. It's just nobody would read it.
Okay.
Well, perhaps you're worried that that will happen with this one, even if you put all your effort into it, and therefore you're not finding the time to put the effort into it.
Oh, yeah, that might be, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'll think about it, because actually I don't think I feel that way.
Okay. Well, you have to decide how you feel.
So, I mean, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, really, I mean, when I talk about it with people, it just, it lays out so nicely. It's just, I'm really excited about it, but...
Well, the thing to do is to get it all organized in your mind whenever you can, wherever you can. And then when it's time, just, you know, jot down notes and then just go blast it out and do a good job that way. Just a suggestion.
Just blast it out, right? Do you remember in the gathering there was that night that we're going to do the second story time and I said I wasn't ready and you said sometimes you have to just do a spot performance?
That's right.
I just, you know, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to just, I wanted to do it all the way. I wanted to do the best job. I wanted to get it, you know, done well. And that's kind of the same thing. I'm not willing just to do a, just a shoddy kind of performance right now.
I'm not asking you to do a shoddy performance. I'm telling you tools that you can use in order to do the type of thing that you want to do. But in utilizing time available to you on the bus, at the, you know, sitting around waiting for somebody to call, anytime, when you can just refocus your mind and jot things down so that when you get that time, you can do it.
Okay.
Well, what I also heard was judgment and limitation.
Oh, yeah. Me too. You set your expectations very high. So that you cannot reach them. That's what I heard.
Or you don't even attempt because you've already judged it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, right.
Start with your outline, just and then when you're out and about, you can fill in the spaces.
Wow, I mean, that's so funny. You guys are saying there's like judgment and doubt where I don't really feel that there's any.
Well, the reason I said that is because of what you said. That you said that you were looking for that perfection, that you just really wanted it just right, okay? And that's judgment.
Oh, I can just, whoa. All right.
And that you do want to have this answer right by everyone and that it stands out, yes.
And then it's limitation. You're limiting yourself from being all that you really are supposed to be, and that's why you can't find the space for it, because you're creating limitation.
Well, let's put it this way. If you do the best job that you know how to do, irregardless, I guess it's regardless, of what others could possibly think about it. Just do the best job that you know how. But you're putting it out there
that's
as you want them to acknowledge it and use it in the ways, and that's putting judgments on it. All you can do is the best job that you can do, and it doesn't matter whether they use it or not. You do the best job that you know how.
Well,
that
I
is
mean,
out of
I'm
judgment.
Sorry, I am not trying to be difficult, you guys, but that is exactly what I'm trying to do.
Okay, good.
And I see things that are not, you know, being said. I see things that make a difference in the understanding that have not been communicated. That's, I feel like, something I can offer.
Then do it.
And so I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that that's why they said it sounded that way.
Okay.
We're just waiting.
Okay. So are we ready to move on to something else? Anybody else have something else they want to bring up?
I just want to say that I feel the same way like Andrew's in these times now. That somehow life is living me and not the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah. We all feel that way.
Very much resounded on what we spoke before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, I don't know about you, Simone. I feel like I could pretty easily get a handle on like things. I just have to, you know, like to make an omelet, I have to break a lot of eggs. I just have to say no to a lot of things that I'm not willing to say no to right now. If I said no to these things, it'd be like, hey, done, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you've set up your priorities. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the thing comes down to, then don't bitch about
maybe
it.
Maybe that's what it is, Misty. I think maybe it's in, that's the closest, probably, I that makes sense to me anyways. Like, I seem to prioritize the little stuff over the big stuff.
And then you have to be okay with that.
I can just do the little thing. Mm-hmm. I see. I'm not obviously okay with that.
Right. When you make a choice, mm-hmm. make it with all of you and then just be okay with it. Otherwise, it really wasn't what you truly desired because the other one's eating
at you. No, you know what? I think that is it. Sometimes I think that my myopia, you know, my nearsighted vision, I mean, I get a lot of mileage out of understanding, like, that pattern in my life. So it's kind of like that, what you were just saying. I notice that I can really get into the details of things. Like, I pulled out of something the other night and said, wait a minute, this isn't even really that important. I should be doing, like, but Roger, you know, talked to us about the gathering back in 2012. You know, just get a basic, you know, thing done. You're done, you know. You've got your basic, responsibility met. Then you can sit around and, you know, look at your options. You can see how you might want to do it different or something. But at least get the thing done and you don't have to worry anymore. I haven't been doing that big picture. I've been detailing everything to death. And that, I guess, is a way of hiding. You know, it's easy just to get into the detail and just kind of close my mind off and not put in the big pieces first. Okay. I'm done.
All right.
If anybody else want to say anything, that's fine. I can see.
Okay.
We'll send a bill.
Yeah. I can see clearly now.
<What's that?
laughs>
I'm Sharon.
Okay. If nobody else has anything else they want to speak about, then we'll get back into the book. I believe we're at 141. And
we are.
And it's A to read.
It's A to read.
Is that correct? We always start with A.
Well, for right now we do. Well, we can start anywhere.
Back?
We don't have to. Okay, let's start with who wants to read first.
No, I don't mind.
And we'll go from there.
Why don't we start with order?
We're going to start reading.
What?
Okay. Simone, you want to take 141? It's short.
Sure. Without substantial life changes, most healings quickly regress or change back simply because your underlying life tone or personal patterning has not changed.
Hey,
Dudley.
Dudley's having a hard night.
He just wanted us to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Well, that was an unusual event, so what is this again? Without substantial life changes, most healings.
I can read it again.
Go for it.
Without substantial life changes, most healings quickly regress or change back simply because your underlying life tone or personal patterning has not changed.
Agreed.
Is that speaking to you, Andrew?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm substituting the word fixes. I'm trying to substitute, like, so without substantial life changes, most, you know, you happening to life quickly regresses or changes back to simply because your underlying life tone or personal pattern has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
So are you falling into old patternings is the question that you need to ask yourself.
That's a good question. Because it's a really elaborate version of that pattern, but probably. Okay.
Okay. Hmm. Why don't you read passage 142?
Is F the next one? I mean, am I, as Simone, the last one to read? Am I up?
Yeah, she's the end of the alphabet for now.
Sweet. All right, so 142, you have the privilege to personalize yourself and everything in your body and life as you truly desire. And you have forsaken the privilege to memories. Why do you suppose that is?
Can you answer that, Andrew? You want to answer it, Simone?
I have a mark here, and the mark says, by forsaken the privilege to memories, you living by default. And the question mark is memories is brain, is it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. No.
Yeah, you know, so I can see something in this that I can't really describe. It's not on the point. It's something like kind of a connection outside of this point.
Well, this point just brings you back into your old vision of everything. It's memories of the way it always has been. So that's not going to work for any meaningful change.
Memories is the same thing as patterns.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, memories is the same thing as habits.
Uh-huh.
So if you actually made change, you have to let go of those memories. And change them.
And do different.
Yep.
All right.
Otherwise, you get stuck back in.
Well, I don't know about anybody. I'm just curious. Does anybody find that, like, from time to time, it's easier just to kind of go back on autopilot for a while?
Sure, we do.
Sure.
All of us do.
You think maybe you're working things out, or you're just taking a break, but you end up sort of being lazy or hiding out in old habit patterns, old like ways of thinking.
Yeah, but
there's some comfort in that, a familiarity.
Yeah, but sometimes I find that
there's a comfort in that.
Yeah, but sometimes I find that is different than it used to be. The autopilot.
What's that mean?
It means that without realizing it, I've actually changed my patterning. And so when I live by default, it's different than if I lived by default 10 years ago.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Shall we keep it going?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the next one up is Karen available?
Yep. I'm here.
All right.
Since all individuals and events in life with agreeing patterns are attracted and bonded by their similar patterns, this explains how you constantly attract the same or similar people and events in your body and life, over and over. And the same attitudes. And this reveals how you can attract what you want most in life.
By knowing what we don't want.
What?
I don't think that's what he said. More by don't.
I think it's just describing what would you call that? A sequencing? The way things sequence?
Well, this is basically falling back into what Patrick mentioned, which was living in default.
Yeah.
I think that was Patrick. You just kind of...
Yeah. From before?
Yeah.
If you're living by default, then you're going to fall into... you're going to attract people that are living a similar pattern to you in their defaultness.
Right.
But
they're going to have the same attitudes and the same way of doing things and all that kind of stuff.
Sorry?
They're going to do the same way of doing their lives with their attitudes and and ways of just doing life.
Mm-hmm. And whose default is that?
But I think the point is the last sentence. This reveals how you can attract what you want most in life. You can use that same function and attract as you desire.
That's right. Attract those people and those events as you truly desire.
Yeah.
It's relative to your actioning, your attitude. Okay. Moving on, passage 144. Of course, to knowingly attract what you desire, you need to know your privileged being and declaration, and stop living by default and distorted memories.
So that's an expansion of what we were just talking about in 143.
Yep, it is.
All right. Okay,
Patrick, take it away.
145. The natural state of your body and life is not health and well-being. For that condition, like an intimate relationship, must be maintained by responding to your underlying personal pattern. That is your eternal privileged being. So that the, okay, I've read that and have heard it myself a little bit differently than it is actually written. So that even the natural state, so even health and well-being, like an intimate relationship, must be maintained. And when he says, when he's written here, by responding to your underlying personal pattern, does that really mean living, being aware of and living the underlying personal pattern?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And the underlying personal pattern is the eternal privileged being.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Sharon, would you read 146, please?
Regardless of what you may have heard, life is not a journey away from home and a journey back home. Being alive is being at home wherever you are. However, this does not make life a journey as opposed to a destination. Life is not about being present and living in the now.
So if that's the case, what's life about?
What you're creating.
Anybody have any input?
Maybe expressing more of what you are.
Okay.
Means living more precisely the underlying personal pattern.
Okay. So are you a slave to that underlying pattern, or do you determine that underlying pattern?
I determine.
Okay, and how do you do that?
Underlying pattern.
And how do you do that?
Oh, I think by declaring who I am.
Mm-hmm. And what else?
Maybe the commonalities of lives I already lived.
I think you got to take consistent action. To declare it in words is one thing, I mean, to really declare it is to live it.
Right. You have to live that declaration.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and we're back up to Simone.
Okay, 147. Life is a desire and a vision. It is knowing where you are going and what you are doing to get there, and being content where you are. Life is seeing clearly into the past. For at every moment, you have been here before. Life is surrendering yourself completely and contently to what you are doing.
Oh my Lord.
Mm-hmm. What? You got something to say, Andrew?
No, I mean, do you agree with that, Simone, given what our earlier conversation was?
It is knowing where you are going and being content where you are. Yes, I agree to that.
Okay. Well, I just meant the surrendering part. I was like, what? That doesn't make sense.
Life is surrendering yourself completely and contently to what you are doing.
Clearly, I'm not doing that one right now.
Yeah, me neither. But I agree to what
I was asking the question. I was like, really? Do you agree with that?
I think you guys should just print this up and paste it around your house.
I don't know. I think I'm going to argue with Roger on that one.
In what way?
What?
It wouldn't be a Monday night if I didn't.
Well, I can see those folks that want to live in the now and being present. We'll look at that last sentence and say, yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Yeah. But why don't you say that?
But in surrendering yourself completely and contently to what you are doing, you have chosen what you are doing, and in that you surrender yourself into yourself.
Right.
Not into what everybody else expects you to do or guidance from outside of yourself or the way it should be done or any of that stuff.
Wow, I'm sitting here thinking, like, apparently as I look at this, yeah, I'm probably struggling a lot because I want to live my vision of my life in a certain particular way. I'm not willing to be that vision, and whatever I do is me doing it.
And is not life surrendering yourself completely and contently to what you are doing self-evidently, living self-evidently? Because you're focused on your doing and not on the outcome and not what on the
consequences.
On the consequences, right.
Or even the conditions, you know.
But in doing, you probably do as you truly desire, in just doing.
Well, I think that means that if your image is, and you recognize yourself that you are as you truly desire, then everything you do is probably okay.
Yeah, that last sentence can't be left hanging by itself. The front part of the passage is essential.
Yeah, I agree. You have to have the front part of that. If you take it in isolation, then you've lost the whole intent and meaning of what is being said in that passage.
It goes back to that good old the emprise, having the emprise and a vision of living that emprise and knowing all the time that you are living the emprise and the aware of what you're doing is there and I'm content about that. And then life allows me, life is surrendering myself completely and contentedly to what you are doing.
Yes.
The part I need, I'd like a little bit more discussion on is that life is clearly, is seen clearly into the past, for at every moment you have been here before.
What might that be saying?
I'm not entirely sure what that means.
Are we our past?
Well, we only have the past.
Right, and so therefore, who and what we are is totally the past.
And
right.
If I'm living my eternal, my personal pattern as an eternal privileged being, then it is consistently past. It's always consistently there as my past.
So the question is, as you change, does your past change?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, the past is consistent with who and what you are.
Right.
Does that help you, Patrick?
Yep, it does. That's super. Thanks.
Okay. So I
think, yeah, actually, Pat, we are an outpicturing of our past, are we?
You could say that.
Yeah.
And is there a distinction between our past and our memory?
Well, because memory with a Y?
Memory with a Y.
Yeah.
If the true past, memories, is our distorted past.
Right. But is there a difference between, what's your question again, between past and memory? Depends on if you're looking at it as past as memory, and does memory change, or past as memories, does memories change? Memory doesn't change.
Very different things.
Memory doesn't change. Memories change.
Hey, Misty, it may be that I need you hearing aids, and I've had this problem before. How far are you sitting away from the phone?
A book length. In other words, I'll pull it a little closer, but I've got to have the book in front of me or I can't read.
Yeah, okay. No, I think truly I need to get my hearing aids adjusted. But.
Well, can you turn them up anymore?
Okay. So anyway, that's a technical issue. I think this is what I raised the question about the distinction between memories, IES, and past. You expanded the discussion to make sure we consider past as both memories and memory.
Yes.
They're two very distinct things, different.
Which one are you, the question becomes, which one are you living? Which one is,
Yes.
Which one is your foundation?
Did you say foundation?
Yeah, which is the foundation of you?
Yeah, my memory.
But most people are living off of their foundation as memories.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
It's an interesting question, Pat. I mean, it brings up to me, I've apparently come to make a difference in my own mind between past and my declared past, if you want to call it that, or the past that I've given to myself, or I believe. I don't know how you say it.
How about eternal
past? The
story
I'm living.
The eternal past.
Because, I mean, in my mind, like, man, my past is several lifetimes, and even going back to that Superman story we did back in 08, so I grant that I'll sometimes live memories, but I think usually when I'm on it, I have a different story of myself than just the body memories. But, well, the memories, this body's experience.
Well,
I'm not
body
saying this passage, but it brings it up for me.
Well, the body experience, doesn't it fit into the category of being composed?
Sure.
And that's going to decompose in time.
Yep.
And memory does not.
Right.
Okay. Who read the last one? Andrew, did you read the last one?
I did not.
Simone did.
Simone did.
I did.
So, 148. You cannot be inspired, enthusiastic, and happy all the time.
What?
Or feel joyfully fulfilled and complete in every moment. This is not a forever living statement. Nor can you always be loving and feel loved or be at peace, but you can't always be content. Oh, I take it back. It is a forever living statement.
There you go. I love the what? Anybody have anything?
I mean, certainly I tend to, habitually find myself looking to be inspired, enthusiastic, and happy all the time. Yeah.
We do, and when we're not, we think we've messed up something, that we're not doing it right.
Yeah, we've got a problem we've got to solve or something.
But you can be sad and or any of those things and still be content.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that we're on to Karen, right?
Yep. 149. All things are alive as pairs, natural and constituted, ordinary and extraordinary, formed and formless. But these are not pairs of opposing or opposite. They are supportive and complementary pairs. Even perfection is a pair. As an unformed perfection that is natural and a formed perfection that becomes natural, beyond what is natural. And what is beyond natural and ordinary is an extraordinary that is normal and natural.
Well, that's a mouthful, huh?
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Anybody got anything to say on that one?
I don't understand the difference between natural and constituted.
You don't understand what?
The difference between natural and constituted.
Well, constituted is what you've manufactured or manipulated. Natural is just what is.
But isn't everything constituted, ultimately?
Well, I see what you're saying.
I mean, what kind of things are we talking about here?
Well, I think that probably he's referring to natural as those things like the earth, the rocks, the trees, the things like that we didn't put together. And constituted as things that man put together, buildings and cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's not saying that natural is not is uncomposed. I think he's trying to use a different word to make a different meaning, like more like Misty's saying.
That's just an example of a pair, natural and constituted,
mm-hmm.
formed and formless.
The main thing he's trying to get together is they're not opposing.
Yeah.
An unformed perfection that is natural and a form
perfection that becomes natural, beyond what is natural. I have no idea what that is. What's an unformed perfection?
Well, I think, like, for example, the way you are, the way you're born, that's a perfection of a kind. There's nothing wrong with it. A form perfection is who you decide to be. Maybe over time that becomes natural.
So something you say you've learned to perfect a skill?
Well, I'm just thinking your identity.
Okay.
You know, I could live the identity I was given as I was growing up, or I could live the one that I've chosen. And that eventually just becomes my natural. It's natural, but it's beyond what's technically natural.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Well, yeah, you know. Don't take my word for it. I'm just saying that's what I think.
Yeah, it's an idea.
But I think, as Misty says, that the main point here is all of these things are related and in pairs, and they don't oppose each other. They,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. 150. Do not seek to return to what is natural and perfect. Move on to perfection beyond perfect that is extraordinarily natural.
Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to, you know, I think with this construction of words, if you just go with it, even if you don't understand, like, specifically what he's talking about, I think it takes you through a thought process that is expansive.
Yeah, I think that we can get ourselves all caught up in the words and trying to get definitions, and we're going to get ourselves all boxed up.
Yeah, and again, the point here, even in 150, is that being natural and perfect, that's kind of the way it's put here, don't return to, move on. What natural and perfect does not oppose and does not oppose extraordinarily natural.
That's a great point.
You don't move from one to the other because one is superior and better. I think that part of it is that if we're to be content, as he said earlier, of all those conditions, and always be content, does that apply in 150 here? That I guess he's saying you don't have to settle for natural and perfect, but it's not opposing extraordinarily natural. Or am I mixing things up here?
Well, I think that the word that you need to look at is return to, which means that you're basically judging that where you are is not natural and perfect, and you need to return to it.
Well, and that's a again, like we talked about last week, to me, this might be, I could be wrong, but to me, this might be his commentary on, like, the ideas that are out there. Oh, you know, you got to give up all this and get back to nature. You got to get back to your natural self, give up your thoughts, give up your, you know, that's what's perfect. We lost it. We left it behind.
Right, and it means that in so doing, you move on to perfection beyond perfect. And that is extraordinarily natural.
But to me, this little sentence is an interesting mental process. It's like starting off in one place and taking a few steps to an expanded self, and then you begin again right there. That's your new natural. You could do it over and over and over throughout life.
Okay.
Well, if we combine the language in 151 with 150, it seems to make a more complete picture.
Okay, so why don't we read 151? Patrick?
That would be me, right?
Yes.
Perfection is extraordinary beyond perfect. Yet, being composed, perfection will decompose and fade away, leaving behind only a new formless perfect that is natural and will not decompose or fade. Yep, definitely a time when it would be interesting to be able to ask him what he was thinking about.
I mean, interesting to me, this is the process of creating the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things we do, you know, we write into the memory of the universe, and that becomes a new thing that is, that never was before. It's a new natural.
It's the evolution.
Yeah, not evolving towards, but if you want to say at the end of that process, you look back and see where you evolved from, I could go with that.
Yeah.
Well, he's saying perfection will decompose and fade away and leave behind the new form that's perfect, that is natural. And
right.
Will not decompose.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
If we take that to what comes to mind is that earlier we were talking about responding to our underlying personal pattern, that is your internal being, and that we have always have the opportunity to particularize that life tone of our internal privileged being any which way we want. And so is it possible that what he's talking about here is that if you apply those principles to a personal life, that the perfection might be as I live in this body the way I really want to express my eternal being, my privileged being, that in a sense is composed as I'm living it in this body, and it will decompose, but I will leave behind a new formless perfect that is natural, so that my life tone will, maybe that's the natural, that will continue and will not decompose. And that the way I am actually living it in the body is the composed part. I don't know, maybe I'm going up my own backside.
No, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than get caught up in what he means here, I'm making a substitute some words and see if I can make a connection so I can more see the pattern rather than the words. And I'm reading this as, I don't know, I'm just looking for something that everybody will relate to, so don't hang too tight on this, but I'm going to replace perfection with emprise. Emprise is extraordinary beyond perfect, yet being composed, and emprise will decompose and fade away, I'm assuming that's at death or in my own life, leaving behind a new formless emprise that is natural and will not decompose or fade.
I like that approach, Andrew. Yeah.
Isn't this like memories perfect versus memory?
How so?
How so?
Yep.
Because the decomposed part is the memories. That which does not fade away is memory.
Right.
Right.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a life cycle. I mean, if you bring an awareness or an understanding into life that didn't exist before, okay, great, you do it, you die, you fade away, but then suddenly there's a new awareness in the universe that was never there before.
Yeah.
doesn't decompose. You can always access it.
And the new formless purpose that is natural is there.
And then it comes back in again and composes again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be a new starting point rather than going way back to where it was and starting all over again.
Mm-hmm. Can we also say that decompose and fade away is like a constituent that comes to another constituent and creates something new, like an emergent?
Yeah, emergent becomes a new uncomposed fact of the universe. I mean, for the sake, just try this one. Self is extraordinary beyond perfect. Yet being composed, self will decompose and fade away, leaving behind only a new formless self that is natural and will not decompose or fade.
Yeah, absolutely, Andrew.
Yeah, it's interesting how replacing the words with something else helps you see the true meaning of what's being said, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I mean, what if that's kind of what he was saying that was so difficult for me to get anyway about 2 years ago, about you have an eternal self, but it dies and is gone, but you continue. What if, like, in the process, I mean, what maybe just following this thing, in the process of, yeah, we live a self, and from that, there's, you know, we create, like, we recreate ourselves into a whole new kind of self. I mean, by what you choose to live. And then maybe that's what continues. I don't know. That might be too hard for me to explain right now.
The constant renewal, you mean?
Like, you step out of this self at death into a new self.
Mm-hmm.
That you've
mm-hmm.
earned one way or another. I'm not saying that's a better self. You might even hate it. It might be a self of struggle, but...
Oh, me neither. It's just another self, yes.
But it's the one that you've lived.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have something to add to this? Okay, let's move on to the next.
Who did read?
I don't remember anymore.
Pat did.
Pat did.
That was Pat.
Oh, okay.
So then we're up to Sharon.
153. It is frequently declared that you are living one immortal self in life.
Oh, have we done 152?
I think we're on 152.
Oh, 152. Is unconditional formless love perfect, or is formed love, which is truly active, extraordinary, beyond unconditional love, and which would you choose to receive an offer? Unconditional formless love that is perfect, or formed love that is beyond perfect yet is fleeting, and leave a new formless love behind?
What do you think, Sharon?
I just don't do that.
You don't do what?
I don't do any of that.
You don't do love?
Yeah, I don't do love.
Yes, you do. Anybody want to answer that? Or do you think it's a rhetorical question?
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm still looking at it.
Yeah, based on the kind of discussion we had with the previous two, a substituting word, I think this was...
You are so far away from the phone, I only can tell that you're talking.
Yeah, it's hard.
Oh, I think Karen had the phone.
that...
Maybe that's why you can't hear. You're too far away.
It's mostly with me. Karen takes it over to her when she's speaking.
Oh.
So, based on the pattern that we elucidated with substituting words, I think this is an example of substituting words again, and it says ultimately here, yeah, I would that is formed love that is beyond perfect yet is fleeting, but leaves behind a new formless love. I think that's certainly that would be what I would like to do.
That would be my choice.
Yeah. Right. And by the way, is that supposed to be that last leave? Is it a plural, leaves? Or active leaves instead of leave? And leave a new formless love behind?
Singular, what would you
or
do?
Is that correctly written?
I think that's correct. It's a singular, what would you do?
Yeah, I think it's singular.
Okay. Leave a new and formless love behind.
I got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's developing a much better understanding of what he's saying.
Yeah, that would be my choice. Okay, 153, that would be Simone.
It is frequently declared that you are living one immortal self and life, moving in and moving out of mortal existence. Don't you believe it? You are living as two separate yet companion beings in two different worlds. Sometimes you are actively aware of this communion, and at other times you barely sense the relationships, or you forget it altogether, which of course is your right. However, arousing, enlivening, realizing the twinned nature of yourself as personal eternal, which was born together as a single entity, and though your nature is twin, this is not a duality, and certainly not opposing. For your twinned nature exists as one in twinned worlds, which is true fulfilling wonder and empowerment of yourself and life. I do have a question mark here.
Okay, and what is your question?
You are living separate yet as two separate yet companion beings in two different worlds.
Okay. The composed world and the uncomposed world. The body and the eternal.
Like dreaming or?
No, not like dreaming. Are you a communioned being?
Yes.
Okay. That's what it's talking
about. I always thought that we are a trinity, not a twin.
What is the trinity?
Personal self, eternal self, and resplendent self.
Isn't resplendent self the term of the two in communion?
Yep.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
That's one of the longer passages that we've read, and a whole bunch of forever living is wrapped up in that passage.
It is.
Sometimes you are actively aware of this communion. When does that happen?
Good question.
Or what is different when it doesn't happen, when I'm not aware?
When you're not aware, you're living by default. When you are aware, you're living your true self.
Okay.
You struggle, struggle, struggle.
Yeah. Sometimes you lose the relief, but that's okay. That's
all of us live by default. In fact, much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Could we do better?
Oh, sure.
Sure, we could. You know, and perhaps we will as time goes on. We will become, it will become much more natural for us to live the eternal than live the composed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would
and
think,
the twin is neither duality nor opposing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would like to be able to see or experience myself awarefully living in the twinned world, that I don't step from one to the other and back and forth. I hold the vision that I should be able to function awarefully in both worlds at the same time.
Can you think of two things at the same time?
Yeah.
No, you cannot.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
You can do it.
Oh, you're saying you can't?
You cannot.
Why not?
You cannot.
Why not?
Because you're not able to do two things at once. Think two things
well,
at once.
I'm holding the vision that I can. I'm not going to limit myself like that.
You can flip very quickly
you
between
may be
them.
You may be correct, but I'm going to hold the vision that I can.
Okay. But all I'm telling you is that your brain is not capable of doing that for you to realize it.
Hmm.
Your brain flips between very quickly between two things so fast that you don't even realize. But it cannot do two things
well,
at once.
Then my experience would be that I'm living in both when it's flipping back and forth so fast.
That can be your experience, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so that was Simone, so we're back around to Andrew. Unless Susan is on here. Did Susan get back on?
Sound like it.
I think I heard her before.
I thought I heard her
Percent
for a second.
Percent was on for a very short time, then left.
Mm. Okay. Andrew, you're on the stage.
154. Do you really believe, as almost everyone does believe, that the universe we live in is created and maintained by polar opposites in constant interaction? If so, you should be aware that this is untrue and self-deceiving for positive, negative, good, bad, spiritual, material, male, female, hot, cold are not polar opposites, and the aliveness of your life, even the existence and survival of your personal body and life, does not involve these language dichotomies, nor does it involve your making the right choice. But of course, if you believe otherwise, that is your burden to carry and struggle with endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Self-explanatory. Good old FL.
Yes.
Old timey mm-hmm. forever living.
Just wanted to comment on that there is, I'm becoming more aware of people in my immediate world that are so heavily into the burden that they carry and the struggle that they are in endlessly. It's actually kind of frightening. The level of struggle that burden entails with people, just about everybody I know in my world, it's quite something. I, And I consider, you know, looking back to what life was like before forever living, it's almost like that was another lifetime. And that certainly would have described me. But I think, in spite of myself, there's significantly and noticeably less of that struggle going on. Not gone, but it's sure a lot less than it used to be.
Isn't it interesting?
Hmm.
I'm with you on that.
Okay. Me too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Karen, are you ready for this?
Well, let's say I can start it.
If you need to pass it on, just let me know.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, how about if we all do a paragraph or something like that?
Okay, we can do that.
The following story is from a past life reading for an individual who felt strangely burdened all her life. And though she had no religious training, she felt her burden was somehow connected to God or religion, or to a commitment she had made and failed to complete. See if you can discover her problem in this story.
You want to read that? You want to read on, or you want me to pick up?
Oh, I'll read the first paragraph.
Okay.
In a previous lifetime in India, many centuries ago, you, as a devout Hindu, carried a heavy stone wherever you went. And when asked why you had the stone, you declared, very sadly at the time, If I am set completely free in life to do just as I want, I will probably do most harmful things to myself and others. Thus, to control yourself and your temptations, and to restrain yourself from doing most harmful things, you burdened yourself with a physical stone, and seldom set it down, for you reasoned that by limiting yourself in this way, you were freeing yourself from the burden of allowing yourself to do whatever you wanted. You were mastering yourself and your improper desires, and you frequently quoted Krishna's words that the devotee whose understanding is unattached, who has self-master, and from whom desires are gone, awakens to the state, supreme state. Then you frequently added, a little sadly, this is my obligatory action, and I will not cast it away. I carry it about as a control of my desires, and as a constant reminder that whatever I do, I must be controlled at all times.
You see that this person's real burden was her struggle with good and evil, and restraining herself from any temptation to do anything, to do any harmful things?
Yes.
Pat?
And you were very controlled, for you didn't set the stone down to make these pronouncements, or even to eat, for you were following Krishna's words by humble submission, by inquiring, by selfless actions. Wise knowers of truth will be inclined to teach you higher knowledge.
Sharon?
You slept upright with the stone in your lap and rose each morning to carry that stone until your arms ached and the muscles of your entire body were so distressed that it was impossible for you to continue. And when others asked, why don't you set your burden down? For if you do this, then being freed of this physical burden, you will be able to do many things in life. It seems they admired you as a seeker of truth, and yet, at the same time, they pitied you. Can we keep going?
In response, you reminded them of Krishna's words from the sacred text that, when I know the truth, I will not again fall into delusion, for by true knowledge, I will see all beings without exceptions in myself, and know the true nature of all things. You revealed in knowing such words, and enthusiastically repeated them. Then you spoke words of Krishna, saying, those enjoyers of the nectars of sacrifice realize the absolute. This world is not for one who offers no sacrifice. How then in any other world? And you added, if I set it down, isn't there another sacrifice God will want me to make? Oh, good. God, no, God. Oh, yeah. If I set it down, isn't there another sacrifice God will want me to make, another burden to carry and endure without attachment?
In spite of your answers and quoting the Holy Scriptures, others persisted in asking, why do you do this? Why don't you want to be freed of all these burdens and limitations?
Karen?
Certain these individuals were sent by God to test you, to entice you. You declared, oh dear Lord, while others sacrifice hearing and other senses in the fires of restraint, and still others offer precious objects, I sacrifice all actions into the fire of yoga and self-control, which is kindled by true knowledge. And because carrying the stone requires control and persistence, it keeps me feeling that no matter what I am doing, I am always following your words. Dear Lord, and in that, I am always letting you control my body and self and my life and destiny.
In meditation, you constantly declared, silently of course, I am ready for your wise knowers of truth to teach me higher knowledge, dear Lord. And you waited patiently with the stone in your lap as a reminder and an offering, but no wise teachers came to you.
One day on a lonely road, a stranger appeared, seemingly from nowhere, and asked, if carrying this stone as a burden makes you feel in control of life, your life and destiny, why not set your stone down and pick up the burden of being out of control and allow only that to control you? Or, in fact, you can declare, if this is my burden, then I can set it down at any time, or limit myself at other times in other ways. For, in doing that, you free yourself from these physical limitations and the burdensome controls you have placed upon yourself.
And as you listened intently, look like math, and tiresomely, he added, and your muscles will not ache, and you will no longer cry from the pain of your burdens and sacrifice, and Krishna will understand.
Believing the Guru was a wise knower sent by Krishna, for he certainly spoke wisely, you responded, I shall set my stone down and take up the burden of feeling myself out of control, as you so wisely suggest. And with those words, you reluctantly set your stone down and took up the burden of being out of control. And the stranger disappeared.
Within days, you felt that being out of control was a far greater burden than the stone. So you rushed back to the place where you met the stranger and picked up your stone, and carried it to the end of that life, and had it placed on your grave as a headstone, where it remains even today. It seems that though you are no longer carrying a stone or following Krishna's words, you still feel out of control, which is the burden most individuals carry today. And you foolishly felt that to be burdened in this way set limits and controls upon you, because you're afraid that without restrictions, you will fly off in every direction, living as you desire, not as you believe God desires for you.
If you want such limitations, either as guidance or control, couldn't you set the rules as you desire without simultaneously burdening yourself?
Can you not declare, this is what I truly desire, and this is what I shall do, and this is what I shall be? For when you do this, you will find that there are times when you need and desire controls, and other times when you do not need or want these restrictions, and such that you are then able to give yourself the non-limiting controls and guidance you desire without imposing burdens upon yourself. In this way, you have freedom, understanding, and guidance without limitations, and you are the wise knower of higher knowledge.
Your burdensome words carried you into your life of carrying a stone in India, and have burdened you in every life since. By adding more limitations and misbeliefs, and by blinding you to the higher knowledge of yourself in life and of God.
Well, that was her reading. What would you suggest she do? Are you carrying a similar burden in your embodied life soul today? If so, what are you willing to do? Will you set your unnecessary burden down and walk away, or continue living as usual?
Until language, universal knowledge was communicated by direct realization. After language, universal knowledge was obscured and twisted to conform to the language until it was completely misshapen and forgotten. Now, because of your mistaken language, lacking understanding, you are forced, though you don't realize it, to function according to false language created experiences, conditioning, inclinations, and habits, all of which seem so wise yet fail to fulfill you and truly enrich you.
This reminds me of the beginning of our conversation today.
Yeah, doesn't it? Pretty well smacks.
Yeah. The woman in our story foolishly followed Krishna's words that except for work performed for the purpose of sacrifice. This world is in bondage to the effects of work or work. Therefore, perform your actions only for the purpose of sacrifice, remaining free from attachments, and she suffered greatly as a consequence. For though she followed the rest of Krishna's words, therefore without attachment either to action or their results, always performed work that is essential for the highest good. She could never determine what actions to follow without being attached to the outcomes essential of the highest good. She wanted her actions to be superior and lead to the highest good, not merely sacrifice and burdensome. For later in that life, she heard another wise knower of higher knowledge declare, unless intentional actions are followed, your life will result from reactions to environmental events and conditions and unrealized influences which will never satisfy your soul desires for an enrichingly constructive life. Be ever attached to the results of your actions, but do not act to cause those effects. For when you do this, your mindful focus is upon the results you desire and are presumably creating, and not upon your actions or upon your mindful awareness of the unfolding process you have chosen and are involved in. do not engage in sacrificial practice. Let your sacrifice yourself.
I think there's an accidental
what?
Period in that last statement.
Yeah, I got to fix
that. What are you sacrificing yourself and life for?
No. Okay. Be mindfulness permits all actions and clearly reveals that every seeming undesirable action is actually desirable. So perceive carefully and mindfully, for the whole secret of living by higher knowledge and knowing your own beautiful self and guiding actions lies in your willingness to perceive all actions and activities without judgments. For any such opposition only distances you from the awareness and true nature of all things portraying your living self. Follow your own wisdom and guidance within and around you without opposition or repudiation, and turn away from everything, whether inner or outer, which seems to deny the beneficial desirability of all things.
It is declared that by acting in the right spirit, being devoid of cravings and compulsions, not being motivated by compulsion or willfulness, following a path of higher knowledge, being unattached to outcomes, and not being motivated by physical pain or any rewards, you will act flawlessly. Yet, it is not wise to realize that anyone or any writing which judges you is not worthy of the task. I didn't understand that. Yet, is it not wise, right, to realize that anyone or any writing which judges you is not worthy of the task? Do not impose others' judgments on yourself to meet and fulfill, as this woman burdened herself with Krishna's untrue words which lacked higher knowledge for centuries. Action as you truly desire, for only this will reveal the truth and higher knowledge of all of your actions. And let others concern themselves with their own judgment.
Free yourself from the pains and burdens and limitations of long-standing beliefs and words that you are not free to live as you truly desire, or that you will be harshly judged for doing so. Awaken from your painful, self-imposed, burdensome beliefs about life to the higher knowledge and full understanding of yourself and life. You are constantly unfolding yourself by remolding your actions. Therefore, it is up to you to choose, with every action of your living self, the life and individuality you desire and desire to be cause. And though you may not believe it now, whether beautiful or burdensome, that life will emergently be yours.
That's a heavy one.
Boy, don't all of us carry around burdens, huh?
I just was about to say we all carry our stones around.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
And when are we going to put them down? That becomes the question.
No.
Because some of us are so attached to it that it's very hard to put down.
It becomes the meaning of life.
Yeah.
I gave up.
Or as you suggested earlier, Patrick, that habit becomes comforting in itself, a way. A kind of comfort, anyway.
Yeah, well, it's very familiar.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Wow.
Well, this is the passage that we left off the gathering in July on.
Is it?
Right. Yeah.
And here we are again at the end of a session. There must be something about this that it is a closing thought, this story.
Anotherness of you for next time.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we'll be into new territory.
What do you say?
Well, we haven't. So basically, when we started these Monday nights again, we agreed to go back to the beginning of I,
mm-hmm.
instead of start with an otherness of you. So next
right.
week we'll be in brand new territory.
Mm.
But I thought it was worth it going back. This was plenty.
Oh yeah.
Insightful.
Very much.
Oh, sure. Excellent.
I think we gained a lot out of having gone over it. And I think that we will find, as I have, just like with my reading that he gave me 25 years ago, 27, 20, 30 years ago, anyway, that every time I read it, I gain another understanding. You know, you could call it a level of understanding because you sat with the other one for a while and now you're adding to it and you're expanding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Well, Simone's ready to head off to work shortly.
Hey,
right.
Let me ask you a quick question before we go. So it looks like on the Emergent Miracles site you set up the new Monday nights recordings.
Yep.
Okay. And so that last one that's up there looks like maybe it's a week, but it looks like that last one for number 46 is... It says the same date as the one above it, but I assume it's the following week. Is that correct?
It is the following week. I must have missed that. So they're all up to there through last Monday.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Last Monday? Yeah, I don't see the one from last Monday. I see the... I feel like
it's on Emergent Miracle?
It's not up there?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't put up...
Well, it looks like it's November 13th. November 20th is not there yet, which is fine.
It probably is there. I just probably forgot to put up to refresh the page to show that I had put it up.
Sweet.
Which means that the recording's there, but your link to it is not. So I will go in and fix that tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Alrighty then.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night for now, guys.
Great to hear everybody.
Good night for now.
Okay, buddy.
Have a great
week. Good session.
Thank you.
Good night.